Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, we're 90 minutes from kickoff for the Two-Tone Blue, who's in and out of the lineup. Let's find out now on NFL Pregame with Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and Chris Sanders on ESPN. 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Titans and Jags, time to get to the inactives for today's game for the Titans. I said one big Titan who's in, one big Titan who's out, and I guess I kind of used the one Titan who's out a little liberally because the Titan who's out, A.J. Brown is out, inactive for the Titans. Vic Beasley, who is questionable for today's game, he is the other big Titan who is out. Wow. Derek Roberson, Darrington Evans, Jeff Swaim, Jameel Douglas, and Isaiah Mack are all inactive today for the Titans, but that means Malcolm Butler is active today for the Titans. Chris, you obviously seem excited about Butler being in there for obvious reasons, but Butler will play today. Beasley out.
Yeah, I mean, with Butler, he's the leader of that secondary. I know Byard is kind of the guy who makes all the plays, but Butler's been that solid guy that's been there, and I think with him being there, you can put him on your the Jaguars' top wide receiver, and that's Chark. So just thank goodness he's there. Then now it just eases the pain of having to having to cover all these guys.
Who? Roberson is inactive?
Roberson is inactive, as is Beasley.
So we're back to just three outside backers?
Three outside backers today. Which is surprising because Roberson, I think, was full for most of the week and did not have an injury designation going into today's game.
I think it's numbers, though.
I don't know.
I think we need more corners. That's probably why, you think?
I know, but three outside backers?
Who did they keep up for corners?
They kept
just regular guys, right?
Yeah, everybody's up.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Adoree's on IR, but everybody outside of Adoree Jackson is up at the cornerback position today. By the way, the Titans did utilize the practice squad, the 54th and 55th men, that is, I think it's part of the new CBA. I don't think that it was, I think it was always planned to be this way, and that would be Cam Batson and Jeremy McNichols, who were activated as 54 and 55. They will then go back to the practice squad tomorrow. McNichols got a little bit of run against Denver. Batson has played on the Titans before. What did we think of McNichols when he got in there against Denver? I know he got the 15-yard penalty on the Broncos, but, I mean, he really just feels like a regular player when he's out there on the – I mean, just like
– I didn't even know he was in the game.
Just like he's just a guy out there.
He didn't fumble. That's all I know.
I see a very high expectations for him, Floyd.
Yeah, no, he's got nothing.
For Jacksonville today – for Jacksonville, quarterback Jake Luton is out, as is wide receiver D.D. Westbrook, corner Josiah Scott, corner Luke Barco, defensive tackle Doug Costine, and tight end Tyler Davis out for Jacksonville.
So Josh Allen's is
how many? How many was that?
That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six inactives.
That's it?
But when you got 55 guys, I mean, I guess, you would expect you'd have two more. But
seem like it's many.
What about the DN? Is Josh on there?
Josh Allen will play today for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Again, don't know exactly what we make of that. But I'm still a little to Floyd's point, and I should have thought about this when Floyd brought this up. Three outside backers for the Titans, meaning it's Clowney, Landry, and Kamale Correa. That doesn't sound like enough in order to keep those guys fresh. And it did feel like Clowney got a little tired on Monday night's game. And given the conditioning level, if Roberson is healthy, I'm surprised to not see him in the lineup today.
I mean, it all depends on where the packages that they want to use. Where they're going to put Clowney to really keep him fresh? You know, are you going to put him in the 3-4 and put him at outside linebacker, or go nickel or whatever and put him on a DN or a 9 technique and let him rush? So it all depends on the packages that you use. But I'm telling you, if these cats are going the whole game, They're going to need a lot of oxygen and a lot of Gatorade because it's tough to play that many plays when you haven't played in the preseason.
Sure. And we saw part of that last week. So, yeah, I do worry a little bit about, you know, and this will sound crazy, but, you know, in the passing situations, you'd like to be able to put some pressure on them. Yep. And we saw last week, particularly with the outside rush guys, that, I mean, it doesn't take long for them to get gassed. Yeah. You know, rushing a passer is the hardest thing to do in the league. And if you got to get down there and you got to do it about four or five, six times in a row, you're looking for the oxygen tank. Where is it?
Hey, if I'm an offensive coordinator, and look at what the Tennessee Titans did to the Broncos last week when they came out after halftime. They went hurry-up offense. I mean, Denver was gassed.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars and there's three outside linebackers, do you think I'm going to hurry up?
Yeah.
Heck yeah. I'm going to hurry up. Why? Because I'm going to get that defense tired. I'm going to get them frustrated. And then all of a sudden I'm going to break that long run or that long pass by getting them tired with the hurry-up offense.
What do we think of the Titans' numbers? Going back to linebackers, only three outside backers. Will Compton played a lot on Monday night after Rashawn Evans got thrown out of the game. Is there a way that maybe they use those middle linebackers, Compton and David Long Jr., the backups, not on the outside, but in some sort of support role to get guys like Clowney and Correa and Landry a rest?
Well, not those two guys. I mean, Evans has lined up out there. You know, Evans has lined up out there as a rush guy. So I'm assuming he's your fourth guy.
Move him out, bring David Long in the game to play middle linebacker?
Yeah.
Which tells you that they'd rather do that than put Roberson out on the field.
I don't know.
It makes no sense to me to have three outside backers.
And it's so funny because before the season ever started, what are you worried about? I'm worried about the depth at receiver, worried about the depth at running back, and I'm worried about the depth at inside linebacker. And here we are stuck with three guys in all three spots. And you know, like last week after Evans got kicked out, we got two guys. You know, who's next?
Well, let me ask you this question because you're the defensive guru. If you go 3-4, who's going to be the fourth linebacker?
Yeah, you know, you got somebody gets kicked out, somebody gets a twisted ankle or, concussion protocol or whatever.
So what defense would you go?
We're only going to play with 10 guys for a while here.
But that's a great question, Jared. What do you do?
I don't know.
What do you do? That's a great – you can't go 3-4. You got three linebackers.
I don't know what they're going to do in that regard. Also, should be worth noting, the wide receivers that are up today with A.J. Brown out, Corey Davis, who was dealing with a hamstring injury in the week, he is obviously active after his big game. We haven't even touched on Corey Davis in the game that he had against Denver, but Davis is active, as is Adam Humphries, Khalif Raymond, Cameron Batson, and Nick Westbrook Akina. And I do wonder where Chris Sanders fits in on that depth chart as well, because he might be number 6 in today's game. What do we think of the receivers and maybe the lack of depth that they have there? And if these guys have to play, how do you do it?
I mean, it's not going to be what personnel they're going to use. I mean, we got Davis that had a great game last week against the Broncos, but you don't think that the Jaguars are going to take him out the game. So those other guys are going to have to step up. Humphries is going to have to step up. Like I talked about, Raymond's going to have to step up. He dropped a couple of passes last week. Those guys are going to have to start making plays, but it all goes back to Arthur Smith. What formations are you going to use? Are you going to go 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends, two wide receivers, or are you going to go 21 personnel, two backs, one tight end, and two wide receivers? So it all depends on what package you're going to use for the receivers. But the good thing about it is, if you have a good running game, we can eliminate the receivers.
Yeah, which is true. But in my mind, this makes 12. I mean, if you say, okay, who would you rather have in the game?
Yeah.
Firkser or Pruitt or
Batson?
Batson.
Batson.
I mean, that's fairly simple. So I'm thinking in my mind, okay, that, you know, we're going to see more two tight ends, more, 21, 12, just different looks than we've had in the past, which is fine. If we're running the ball effectively, I have no problem with that.
But also, too, we can get creative with Jonnu Smith. I mean, we can always move Jonnu Smith into the slot, and he's like a big old gigantic wide receiver anyway.
Yeah.
So that can take the spot of a wide receiver because he is a playmaker on the perimeter.
Coming up next here on the pregame show, Teron Davenport will check in with us live from Nissan Stadium. And if Twitter is of any indication, Stephen Goskowski is doinking off the uprights. That is not a good sign. We will check in with TD next here on the pregame show. Jared, Floyd, Chris, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Malcolm Butler is in for the Titans today against Jacksonville. That was a big note from our inactives, but now the Titans are out on the field, and somebody who is watching Malcolm Butler very closely today as he was warming up prior to the inactives, Teron Davenport, ESPN, is live at Nissan Stadium. TD, first and foremost, it must be nice to be back at Nissan Stadium for Titans football.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm a lot more pleasant to be around this week. I say that much.
TD, let's start with the kicking game. Goskowski warming up. How has he looked? Obviously, everybody very nervous every time Goskowski goes out for a kick. So far at Nissan Stadium, how has Goskowski looked?
Goskowski is actually out there kicking now. He's still getting some extra reps in, and he's been good so far. I mean, the guy's a veteran, so you have to expect him to be able to work through that rust and get himself back in order. So I think he'll be fine.
How did Malcolm Butler look, Teron, when he was out? We saw your video and we talked about it a little bit. How did he look when he was out there being evaluated as to whether or not he was going to play?
Butler looked really good, actually. I was surprised. You know, he was doing some start and stop, and, you know, that's a main thing to be able to do when you have a quad injury. So I think that's a good thing. He was doing short sprints. And everybody converged around him, you know, the DB coach, Anthony Midget, and Scott Booker, the safeties coach, and Vrabel and John Robinson. And, you know, they seemed like they gave him a thumbs up at that point right there. So, yeah, I think he looked good. I fully expect him to, you know, have that matchup with DJ Shark, and he's going to need everything he has to be able to do it.
TD, how do you anticipate – who do you anticipate being the fourth receiver, and how do you anticipate them lining up?
Yeah, I think they're going to, and it depends on what package, right? So when they go to three receiver, obviously Humphreys will be in the slot, Corey Davis, and then you'll see Khalif Raymond probably on the outside. He's still a presence for them. You know, he's their vertical guy, so I think that's what they'll look to do. The fourth receiver, you know, that's a good question. I don't know if it's going to be Cam Batson or Westbrook Ikhinne, because, you know, I've been very vocal about, you know, my thoughts of his ability to catch the football, you know. So they have a decision to make from that perspective.
Who's you got me, because as soon as you said that, I thought back to you talking about him during the week and how he really, really struggled to catch the ball, and yet Batson's on the practice squad, you know. So you're bringing, so is Batson the guy? I mean, what kind of confidence?
Yeah, I mean, they called him up for this game, so he'll be active for this one.
What? Let me ask you this: what are the chances in your mind of them really switching up packages and saying, "Fine, we're going to go, you know, 12 personnel or 21 personnel, or we're going to go, you know, with an extra tight end or a fullback rather than three receivers"?
I think they're going to go more 12 personnel, but as you know, I mean, you can't do that the whole time. That's not going to work, you know, so you have to mix it up. But I expect this to be a game where they'll feature Jonnu Smith. I think, you know, when you look at these linebackers, Schobert and Miles Jack and Leon Jacobs, especially Jack and Jacobs, I mean, those guys, they've been trampled on by Henry. So I fully expect them to sell out to try to stop that run, and that's where that play action, those short crosses and those type of things, that's where those are definitely open up. So I would expect that. I still think they're going to use a lot of 11 personnel. I fully think they're going to do that, because you still have Humphreys and Davis, and those guys are capable.
TD, what's up, baby? This is Chris, man. How you doing, my friend?
All right, run.
Hey, big dog, I'm gonna switch to the defense a little bit, man. Hey, Minshew was 19 for 20 last week. What do we need to do to get a pass rush on this guy?
You know what? I think with the way that they use him and the way that they design their plays and how they call them, I don't think this is a week that you really – I mean, you always want to rush the passer. You always want to do that. But I think more importantly, guys have to realize when they're not getting home, they got to put their hands up. Match the quarterback's hands. And that's something that, you know, you have to do against that quick passing game so you can make that passing lane a little bit more difficult for them. But, I mean, if you're just talking about how they're going to get to the passer, I think the main thing is going to be Jeffrey Simmons. And him collapsing from the interior and pushing that pocket back into Minshew's face is going to be clutch. And I think that's their best way of getting to the passer.
Yeah, and then I want to talk a little bit about the back end, the secondary. I mean, the Jaguars have two pretty good receivers. You got Cole and Chark. With Butler being kind of not 100%, do you put Butler on Chark or you just play zone coverage in the back end?
I would probably use more zone, and I would mix it up and do some of the zone blitz and those type of things, dropping guys back, like dropping, showing Clowney blitzing, and then dropping him back into that passing lane. He's so athletic, you know, so he's someone that I would use in that perspective. But, yeah, I would do more zone. I wouldn't really do any cat covers. I don't think you need to do that. You just got to, you know, just lock on and play that zone and just collectively as a group beat these guys in coverage.
Teron Davenport is with us, ESPN. He's live out at Nissan Stadium. Teron, what has it felt like just being in the stadium with no fans? Is it, we know it'll be a little different at kickoff, and there'll be some crowd sound pumped in there, but what is the feeling like at the stadium right now as the guys are warming up?
It's crazy. I mean, the energy is just different. You know what I mean? And even, you know, just with somebody standing here, normally getting a bit excited, you know, because you feel the crowd, you hear the music, and you see everything. It's a lot different, and this is one of those things where, you know, this game, and I was telling Burke Newhill when I talked to him a little bit earlier, I said, it's BYOE, bring your own energy. That's what you have to do. Mm-hmm. And if not, then it's going to be tough sledding for these guys. So it's definitely different, you know, pulling up to the parking lot, being empty, you know, being able to just come off the highway and to M lot in like 3 minutes is a lot different, man. I say that.
TD, give me a formula for the way the Titans are going to win this thing.
Okay, formula to win this thing is take two hands and hold on to Derrick Henry's shoulders and let him run home for you. That's really what you got to do, man. hit a wagon to him, man. He's the ticket. I think really that's what they have to do. They have to run the ball and establish it.
Teron Davenport, ESPN, is obviously at Nissan Stadium right now. TD, we appreciate it. We will talk to you next week before the Titans get set to take on the Vikings. And hopefully there will be a little energy today, at least on the Titans side, during the game at Nissan Stadium. But, hey, at least it's the last game without fans, TD.
Yeah, for sure, man. Definitely that's a good thing. So. Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate Thanks, you, TD. Man.
We will see TD, right. Of course, Nate and TD every Friday right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. He and former Titans receiver Nate Washington break down the upcoming Titans game, and on the game's Facebook page immediately following the game, Chase McCabe and Nate Washington will have a breakdown there. Chris Sanders,
yes, sir.
What'd you hear? What'd you think of BYOE? Bring your own energy. How hard is that actually to do in an NFL game?
I don't think it's hard, because if you love the game, you're gonna play with energy anyway. I coach at high school level, and just trying to motivate kids to go out there and play, not in front of a large crowd. We don't have to, because they love the game, and that's exactly what the Tennessee Titans or the Jaguars got to do. They got to bring their own energy. Why? Because you love the game, and if you love the game, you're gonna have that energy.
Yeah, I thought last week versus Denver, I thought I sensed points in time where I didn't think we were inspired.
That's a great point.
You know, now, as we got along into it and things got a little bit more exciting, then I think we picked it up. You know, I think we kind of matched the energy of the game. But I'm not sure that I felt like we went into that game with all the energy that we needed, you know, to start an opener. And the part that concerned me the most was it was the opener, you know, and the opener, everybody's got energy. Yeah. You don't need any fans for the opener. Your first game of the year, oh, man, you're cranked up. And I started walking, or I started watching some of these guys, and I'm thinking, you know what? I don't sense that same energy from them.
And that's going to be that's going to be the theme all year long. The team that comes in with energy is the team that's going to win. It don't matter if you might be the most talented team, but the team that plays inspired football and it plays with energy is going to be the team that definitely wins.
Well, it's like Floyd said the other day, you know, the Titans at max will be able to have 21,000 fans this season at a home game. You can hear the toilets flush in a 70,000-seat stadium when you got 20,000 people in there. Chris knows that from his days playing at Memphis.
Yeah. Last year at Houston.
17,000 fans.
But those 17 booed us.
Because
well,
they were Steelers fans.
Yeah, say, maybe you should have played better. Coming up next, picks to click, and then nobody in the 2 year, three, 4 year, however long we've been doing this show, nobody has hit the pregame picks to click like Chris Sanders did last week. So, of course, we will allow Chris to celebrate his week one victory, Woo! And we will make our picks to click. Who's got a click in this game for the Titans against Jacksonville? That's next. It is the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
This is NFL Pregame. In just 1 hour from kickoff, it's time for Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and Chris Sanders to make their picks to click for today's game. Picks to click are brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
That's right, it is Picks to Click, presented by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com, and we now... Floyd, 1 hour from kickoff, Titans and Jags have got to give the floor to Chris Sanders.
Yeah.
Because nobody has hit the picks to click like Chris Sanders did last week, going with Corey Davis and Jeffrey Simmons, both game ball players Chris nailed going into the game. So, Chris, before we get to our picks to click for this week, I'd like to say congratulations.
Thank
you,
sir. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, you don't forget the rest of it.
I know.
He also picked the best player on their team.
He did. He was consistently concerned about Noah Font going into the entire game.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Chris Sanders, nobody got the picks to click like Chris Sanders did last week. Just to recap, the GM also had Jeffrey Simmons, and Simmons got a game ball, as well as Adam Humphries at wide receiver. Yours truly had Jonnu Smith, who caught a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And Jadeveon Clowney, who did absolutely nothing. So, with that, it's time now for our picks to click this week. And again, the number one rule of picks to click, you can't pick the same guy you picked the week before. Mm. So, Chris Sanders, because you were our winner.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You lead us off with your picks to click.
All right.
Offensively, who's your pick to click today for the Titans?
I'm going with Jonnu Smith. The reason why I'm going him is I know the Tennessee Titans don't have a lot of receivers. I know he's a tight end, but I think Arthur Smith is going to put in position to where he catches a lot of balls and he touches the ball to make some plays.
I would have gone with Jonnu if I had not picked Jonnu last week, so I understand that one. Your defensive pick.
I'm going with Kevin Byard. And the reason why I'm going with Kevin Byard is I think he's going to make a big-time interception that seals the game for the Tennessee Titans to win.
Byard had a huge fumble, forced fumble on Monday night. Floyd Reese last week, Adam Humphries, Jeffrey Simmons. Who are your picks to click?
My pick to click on offense is whoever the extra receiver is. Whoever, I don't know.
You gotta. It's gotta be Raymond.
Everybody loves him.
Raymond may not even play. If it's Batson?
It won't be Batson.
Well, we don't know that. That's what I'm saying. Whoever the extra guy is, whoever comes in, because he's going to have to play better than he is. And if he does that, he'll deserve all the recognition he can find. And on defense, it's whoever the extra corner is.
I thought you were going to say backer.
And I don't know who the other starting corner will be. But whoever that is, that's my guy.
I think it's going to be Chris Jackson.
I don't know.
Bring Samari Rowe back.
So let me get this straight. Floyd's pick to click. Picks to click.
That's
are
awesome.
Raymond Batson or Westbrook Akina.
Two guys. We have three. Got two positions. We don't even know who's going to be there.
And the corner who's opposite Malcolm Butler are his picks to click.
Yes, sure. Great. Two great picks.
We'll need both those guys.
I prefer to go with good players when making picks to click. I'm going to go, and I would have gone with Jonnu Smith, but I can't pick the same player twice. I am going to pick Ryan Tannehill as my offensive pick to click. But this is what I mean by picking Ryan Tannehill. Like, sure, yeah. Okay, hell yeah, here you go. Pick the quarterback.
Really tough. Let me think about this.
I believe Doug Marrone is going to take Derrick Henry away because they cannot let Derrick Henry run for 500 yards for the seventh straight time on Jack. They cannot let Derrick Henry take over this ball game. And without A.J. Brown, that's got to be the sense of Jacksonville is, hey, if we go in there and they don't have A.J. Brown and we shut down Derrick Henry, they should not be able to beat us. And with that, I think you're going to see a big focus in the secondary. C.J. Henderson's going to be matched up on Corey Davis. I think you're going to see, to Floyd's point, I think it's going to be one of those games where it's Firkser with three and Humphreys with five and Smith with four and Michael Pruitt with a couple and Raymond with a couple and Davis with a couple and McNichols with a couple and Henry with a couple, and it's going to be one of those kind of games for Ryan Tannehill where they are going to make the supporting cast beat them. And I think that it's on Tannehill, which he's done so well since coming over here, to find that open guy. That's why I'm going with Tannehill. Not because, okay, yeah, who should have a quarterback? Not that, but because I think Jacksonville's game plan is to force the guys, the supporting cast outside of Davis, outside of Henry, to find a way to beat them.
Okay.
My defensive pick to click, I'm going with Harold Landry. I mean, somebody's got to sack the quarterback. Somebody's got to sack him. And I don't trust it to be Clowney after last week's performance. Landry didn't give you a sack like you're supposed to, but he's a 9-10 sack guy. And if you're a 9 or 10 sack guy, that means you get a sack every other game. So I expect Landry to come up big in this one because they do need the pressure Gardner Minshew. So just to recap, Chris Sanders goes Jonnu Smith and Kevin Byard. The GM goes Raymond Batson or Westbrook Akina. And the corner opposite Malcolm Butler, which I'm going to pencil in as Chris Jackson. And yours truly goes with Ryan Tannehill and Harold Landry. Floyd, getting to Harold Landry, as those are our picks to click, presented by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com. We did not talk much about Harold Landry during the offseason. We did not talk much about Harold Landry before Monday night's game. Landry had an okay game on Monday night. This is a guy who is entering his third year, was a 9-sack guy a season ago. It feels like Landry is an okay pass rusher. Do you want to see more out of him, though? Former second-round pick, a guy that when he was drafted, there were a lot of thoughts that he could be a first-round pick. Do you think he's a guy that probably needs to step it up a little bit?
I don't see. I think Landry's one of the more underrated guys we have on the team.
I agree.
I mean, he had 9.5 sacks his second year. That's as many as Clowney's had in his entire career, you know, for a great year.
Now, that's the guy I think is the most overrated.
And yet, we don't even mention him as an adequate pass rusher. I mean, he is a half sack away from double digits, and we don't even consider him. All he does is he goes out there every week and plays as hard as he can, rushes the passer, is getting better, never misses. You know, he's there all the time. I think he is dramatically underrated. You know, he's as good a pass rusher as we've had over the last 5 or 6 years. You know, nobody else we've had has had 9.5 sacks. And yet he's kind of, you know, nobody even mentions his name. So,
and I agree with you 100%, Floyd. I mean, I think sometimes we focus on the sexy names or the names that we've heard, like Clowney, Simmons, and Evans, all those guys. But then we say Harold Landry. See, it's not appealing.
Yeah.
But if you look at last year, how many sacks he had? 9.
Yeah.
When's the last time we had a 9-sack guy?
I mean, yeah.
You know, but you know, just like, you know, when he played last week against the Broncos, he still was effective. He probably didn't have any sacks or that, but he was around the ball.
He hit the quarterback,
yeah. So he's still making plays, and he's still being that disruptor that we need.
I like Landry. I think Landry is Landry's a good sacker who needs another good sacker on the other side of him. Like, he needs somebody to help him out.
Who's that guy?
Well, you all, I mean, I'm not saying you two, but everybody, I mean, the fans all, Clowney! Clowney, got to sign Clowney. And he's just not a sacker. Clowney's not a sacker. He's never going to be a sacker. He's not a sacker. That's not what he does. He might get a couple of sacks, but he's not a sacker. And I think we're getting to the point where the Titans have tried to go the discount route of finding a sacker for so long that they may just need to pay somebody.
But I thought they pay Clowney.
No, no, no. I'm talking
every
about
year we say every year we bring in somebody
really
a little bit better.
Pay someone.
Every year we bring in somebody that we think is really going to help, and every year it's no. We just got to spend more.
What? Discount route.
How many millions did Clowney sign for?
12.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that is a discount pass rusher in 2020.
Okay. Who else is out there? Go ahead.
That's Florida. It.
No. I'm talking about like what the Kansas City Chiefs did a year ago, where they used a first round pick to trade for Frank Clark, and then they paid him a boatload of money.
Okay. Who in the draft this year was a top tier pass rusher?
Well, I'm talking about you trade for a veteran pass rusher. Okay.
But what veteran was out there?
The Colts did it with DeForest Buckner.
Okay. He's gone. Who else you got?
I'm sure there will be somebody out there who somebody doesn't want to pay, who you can deal a first-round pick to, and then pay them a boatload of money. But the truth is the Titans keep going discount route for pass rushers. They went discount. I mean, Landry's a second-round pick. That's legit.
Have you ever heard of a guy named Matt Duchene?
Yes, I did. Yeah. It's him 100%.
We got to quit going to discount, guys. We got to go get Duchene. We've been going discount for 3 years.
Oh,
God. This is what we got. And now we got Duchene.
I consider him discount, too.
And we don't like Duchene.
I consider him a discount route, too. But my point is.
You can't win.
He's a discount guy. I mean, he's not a number one guy. You got to get a number one guy, and you got to pay him like a number one guy from a team that can't pay him like a number one guy. But the Titans can't do that. So you're going to consistently not have the feeling that your guys can go get to the quarterback.
Well, who's out there to get? I mean, after you get Buckner, who else is out there that fits your
team? I mean, on September 20th, I'm not going to have an answer for
you.
On February 25th, there will be an answer of a guy who wants a new contract, whose team can't give him a contract, and it's going to cost you. But that you pay the pick and then you sign him to a big deal and you hope he's your impact pass rusher.
Floyd, should we just smile or not?
That's it.
Okay.
Floyd did it. Floyd did it. He traded a first round pick for Kevin Carter and he gave Kevin Carter a lot of money and Kevin Carter was in the Pro Bowl and the Titans had the baddest defensive line in the league. Did those things not happen?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
that's what I'm saying.
A year or two before, or a year or two after, we went and got Vandenbosch and gave him minimum salary, and he was as good a pass rusher as we had, and hadn't played for 2 years.
Well, John Robinson is like having that because he's not giving minimum salary to Jadeveon Clowney, and he didn't give a minimum salary.
But you just said we had to pay him.
Right. I'm talking about Floyd's analogy to Vandenbosch.
Yeah.
So he's not going the route of we're going to bring in a minimum salary guy. I mean, the closest thing they have to that is Correa, and I think Correa actually does a good job for what he's paid to do. But, like, they don't have a minimum salary guy. When they do is they bring in an old man like Cameron Wake, and then everyone's shocked that the old man Cameron Wake gets hurt. Then they bring in Clowney for pennies on the dollar, and Clowney plays like pennies on the dollar. I mean, That's the problem I have is I think that you got to go pay full price for somebody and you're not going to like it, but you got to pay full price for somebody who's a Pro Bowl caliber player and then they come in and play like a Pro Bowl.
Right, but the
player.
Good thing about it, the thing about it is, Jared, is they got to fit your scheme. You don't want to just go out there and just get a guy. Say, okay, hey, he's got 10, 12 sacks. Let's go ahead and sign him. But what if you sign him and he doesn't fit your scheme? And I think that's what Vrabel and Jay Robert doing is they're getting guys that fit their scheme. What's the reason why they chose or picked Clowney? Because what, Mike Vrabel – coach him in Houston, and he can kind of fit in their scheme. You can't just go out and just get somebody. Hey, he's got 15 sacks. Let's go sign him to $30 million a year. He comes in. He gets in a scheme that's not feasible to his skill set. What happens? He gets one sack. Now he's a bust?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
right.
you know what I'm saying. I mean, I agree with you 22%, but I'm just kidding.
The other 88.
But you got to get somebody to fit your scheme. It's like this. If I played receiver a long time ago, I want to get an offense that throws the ball down the field. I wouldn't fit in the New England Patriots because they go quick game. That's just not my game. So why would they sign me to a big-time deal if I want to go downfield, but their scheme of their offense is quick game? That's the kind of situation. That's kind of what I'm talking about.
Why is it so hard for the Titans to find
pass rusher?
Yes.
Who's out there?
I'm not talking about find one right now. I mean, all the time it's hard
make
for them.
The guy
you found
about,
pass rushers
the
every
guy
year.
The guy you're talking about does not exist.
You found
the
him.
The guy you're talking about does not exist. You're saying, I want a pass rusher that's going to come in here and get me 15 sacks a year, and we're going to pay him a bunch of money. Nobody lets go of guys like that. Nobody lets go of those guys. They are not out there. If you've got one, you drop to your knees every day and thank the good Lord you got one.
Except Frank Clark, who Kansas City got and went to the Super Bowl and won with. I'm just saying. Coming up next, our keys to the game. Mike Vrabel's keys, we'll have those for you. Plus, game day picks are next. Don't go anywhere. It's all coming up. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is time now for our keys to the game for the Titans over the Jags. We've got Mike Vrabel's keys to the game as the Titans get set to take on the Jags. And again, about 40 minutes to go until kickoff in week number two. Chris Sanders, I'll just say this.
Yes, sir.
If the Titans win today, they're in first place.
Wow.
They're in first place of the AFC South. Not to say that that really matters on September 20th. But I do kind of feel like it's nice to say first place. And Indy goes up against Minnesota. No guarantee there. Houston goes up against Baltimore. If the Titans win today, there's a chance they could be up two games this early in the season on Houston and Baltimore.
I mean, it just feels so good to hear that because the last couple of years we've been, we started 0-2 or 1-2 and things like that, and we're always playing catch-up. And I just think if the Tennessee Titans don't play catch-ups this year and be in the driver's seat and start 2-0, then now you get the momentum and try to win those next ball games.
Time for Mike Vrabel's keys to the game. The first key, Gardner Minshew, the quarterback of the Jacksonville Jags, lit the Titans up a season ago in Jacksonville. This is what Mike Vrabel said about Gardner Minshew.
This guy's a leader. You know what I mean? You watch him, the players, you know, he's into it on the sidelines when the defense is out there. That team has rallied around him since he's been the starter. That's what I'm most impressed about is just his leadership and his just how into it he is on the sidelines with his teammates, his energy, his passion for playing this game. And then, you know, obviously his skill set is very good. He's decisive with the ball. He's very accurate. He keeps plays alive. We struggled against him, you know, last year. And again, he's letting those guys, those weapons work for him. He's getting the ball out of his hand and he's getting it into his playmaker's hands. Running back, you know, Robinson had a 28-yard catch, you know, ran the ball hard, physical. The offensive line is intact and in back, and I'd say playing well.
Floyd, I know you don't think that Gardner Minshew is a future Hall of Famer or anything like that. In fact, you may not even think he's a starter in the league, but Minshew has shown that he's got the personality to beat you in a big game.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, I agree with Mike. I like his leadership qualities. I like his passion for the game. I like all that stuff. That's all well and good, you know, but I mean, we need to be careful how we describe this guy,
yeah.
You know, because we're trying to make him out to be, well, you know, he creased us the first game. I mean, he threw for like 150 yards, you know, that's a nothing, but he threw up two balls, and the one phrase Mike used was exactly right, which was he let his receivers work for him. He just threw the ball up, and those two guys jumped out of the building, grabbed it, came down with it. We're behind 14-0. So in my mind, it's let's make him legitimately beat us. And by that, I mean if it's a jump ball, let's go up there and knock it down. Fine, make it 2nd and 10. Let them go. But we can't do the dumb things.
Yeah.
We have to be smart, and we have to be go out there and play our game. And if we can do that, and no mistakes, we'll be fine. We start making mistakes, we start doing dumb stuff, we're going to be in trouble because they take advantage of all of that.
You know, he might not be a Hall of Famer or a Pro Bowl, but he fits the identity of that team.
He's yeah.
good for that yeah. team, good for the Jaguars. I mean, if you look at what the quarterbacks that the Jaguars had, they were always inconsistent, throwing interceptions, no excitement, no leadership. But now you got a guy in Minshew that's leading his team and making plays because he fits the identity of the Jaguars team.
Second key from Mike Vrabel, not getting overconfident after week one.
I think we always just try to focus on, you know, the challenge that's ahead of us and understand it's a good football team that is young. It's a fast team. The receivers are big. They all got involved last week. The quarterback's accurate. He's decisive. Seems to rally that football team. And then obviously defensively, they've got a lot of great young players that are transitioning in there into their scheme. So it's going to be a huge challenge.
Kind of just threw everything all in together in there.
Hate it all.
But for some reason, with Tannehill as the quarterback, I don't fear overconfidence as a problem with the Titans.
But how can you fear overconfidence when we almost lost?
Yeah.
I that mean, too. You know, and they beat Indianapolis yeah, last week.
Right. Go ahead, Paul. You got it.
I started saying you kick the last second field goal to beat a 8-8 team. I don't know what you can be overconfident about with that. Yeah. But I think the thing we did last week, as ugly as everything was, as ugly as the whole game, you could say the whole game was awful, was when it came down to that last series, what do you have to do here? Okay, we're going to have to march this thing however far it was. We're going to have to line up and kick a field goal to win it. Yeah. They did that. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to need to do today. Now, I'd just as soon do that in the first quarter and not keep, you know, saving it for the fourth that we can do it several times.
Yeah.
But we're going to have to go out there and do just what we did in that drive. Yep. We're going to have to be smart. We're going to have to be good with the football. We're not going to turn it over. We're going to allow the quarterback to run or pass. We're going to allow Derek to run, and the defense will play well enough to stop him.
Time to make our game day picks. Who wins? What's the final score and why? We are all 1-0 after picking the Titans over the Broncos a week ago. Chris
yes,
Sanders, start us off. Who wins today and why?
I'm going with the Tennessee Titans 20-10. And the reason why I say that is I just think that the Tennessee Titans overall from offense to defense, not on special teams, I just think that they're just a better team. I mean, we're better on defense, we're better on offense, and if we just play our game and give Henry the ball and don't turn over the ball on offense and on defense, keep Minshew from making those explosive plays, I think the Tennessee Titans win 20-10.
GM?
I will go the Titans 24-13, something like that.
Mm. Do you think it's going to be an easy 24-13, or do you think it'll be close and then the Titans pull away there towards the end?
No. I mean, if it should be, you know, appropriate throughout the game. By that, I mean, it should be, okay, if we're going to score 24 points, we'll score, you know, 7, 7, 3, and 7 kind of thing. And so it's continuous. I mean, I don't want any – we shouldn't need – any of the last second heroics.
Well, we'll all have the same record going into week three as well, because I'm taking the Titans. I'll go Titans 28-10. I think it'll be a close game for a half, and then the Titans will blow them out in the second half. Chris goes Titans 20-10. Floyd, Titans 24-13. I go Titans 28-10. That's going to do it for us. We are out of here. We will be back next Sunday at 9:30 before the Titans take on the Minnesota Vikings. Enjoy the game. And, of course, Jared and the GM will be on tomorrow at 2. We'll see you. Enjoy football Sunday. It's been ESPN 102.5 The Game. We've been streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.